Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you once again to join us for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We greet you in Madison, North Florida, South Georgia, driving down Interstate. We're glad that you are tuned to this station, and we're glad that you're joining us for this broadcast today. If you're a first-time listener, we welcome you. We're glad that you discovered us, and we pray that we might be a blessing to you today. If you're listening by computer, as WMAF streams anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, we welcome you. And if you have downloaded this teaching from our website, we welcome you today. And if you would like to come to our website, just type in THCOG, and that will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. We've got a subject today that I'm excited about because I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible to be the inerrant Word of God, and I an inspired Word of God, and I believe everything that is in the Bible about heaven is true. It's the most authoritative book about heaven that you will ever find because John saw it and gave the detailed account of the holy city. Praise God. So we're going to be talking about looking for a city in just a few moments, living on earth with the hope of heaven in our heart. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you have heard about books that have been sold about someone who's been to heaven, they are all subjective to that person's experience. But the Bible is different. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. All Scripture is inspired of God or God-breathed. And we want to get in and see what the Scriptures say about heaven today. Many of the books that are written out there have conflict with one another, and some of them are diametrically different than the biblical account, and you have to just you have to throw them in the trash can because that's one person's subjective point of view. But the Bible is something that we can take as absolute authority. And I'm so glad that we have a clear description of the holy city and the place that we're going to live throughout all eternity. Praise God. Amen. So please stay tuned for this great subject today. Looking for a city. And we're going to take our initial text for this teaching from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10. Just before we read the scripture today, I want to give a bit of a testimony. We got a forward from an email that was sent to the radio station, WMAF, from someone who heard the broadcast in Kenya, Africa, and sent a message to the radio station to be forwarded to us. And we want to encourage all the other ministries that minister here on WMAF, or if you're considering media ministry, I want you to know that because WMAF is connected to the World Wide Web, people are listening all over the world. And I would just encourage you in media ministry today. You know, we have a mandate from God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, we can't physically do that. No one person could possibly physically do that. But because of the World Wide Web, it is possible for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go to the nations of the world. And I believe God is using the media today to accomplish that great mission and mandate that He's given us through us. Praise God. So I want to encourage fellow ministers or you that are considering to get on the radio and get your message, God's message from God's Word to the nations of the world. God is using media like never before. And radio is one of those mighty outlets for the gospel to the nations. Hallelujah. So we would encourage you today. And we know that someone is going to hear God's Word today from the Bible. And it's going to touch you deeply because the Holy Spirit is going with the message. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I've often said, If you want to hear a good message on heaven today, in these days, in the postmodern world, in the contemporary church, you almost have to go to a funeral to hear people talking about heaven, because so many of us, and so many ministries even, are focused on the immediate needs of our physical and material life. Listen, folks, God cares about your physical and material needs, and He's a precious, faithful Heavenly Father. But He wants our sights set higher than just living in a temporal world, in faulty bodies in a fallen world. He wants us to understand what is waiting for us and what He is soon going to take us to receive. That's why this message is so important, because you hear so little of it today. Looking for a city, living on earth with the hope of heaven in our heart. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10. Listen to what it says. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promises. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." I like the Amplified, for it said, "For he was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Hallelujah. Abraham, who God blessed with many riches, he lived in tents. He found no abiding city here on the earth, because he looked past this temporal world and he looked for a city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We used to sing that old camp meeting standard, "Looking for a City." And I like the chorus. It says, "Looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted millions will never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew." That's what we are seeking today through this teaching, that the Holy Spirit will renew our hope in heaven and cause our sights to be set upon heaven. You know, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and says this. It says, "If you be risen with Christ, seek those things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above and not the things of the earth." If I were to write a book about how far we have drifted from the faith once delivered to the saints, one chapter would be titled, "Whatever Happened to Heaven?" Amen. Whatever happened to heaven? Friend of mine, I believe we need a brand new vision of heaven today. We're all headed there. It's going to be our eternal home. See, the worldly church will reflect the exact values of the world system. They too are looking for a city, but it's not the New Jerusalem, it's Babylon. C.S. Lewis said, "Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither." Abraham, though a very rich man, never felt at home in this world. He lived with heaven in view. You know, we've heard the statement that some people are so heavenly minded there are no earthly good. That means their mind is in the clouds. They never see the task at hand sometimes. But I really believe with all of my heart that to be of true earthly good, you have to be heavenly minded. Not so heavenly minded we don't do anything, but heavenly minded enough to do everything we can to serve God with everything we are and everything we have, because we have heaven in view. Praise God. We should be looking for the same city, because it is not temporal, it is eternal. Hebrews 13 and verse 14 says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." I want to read that again. "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." You see, friend, sin has brought death and heartache to this fallen world. In this world, death cancels all hopes and dreams. It breaks all relationships and severs all ties. But not in that city. It is eternal, and we are too. Praise God. I read the delightful story of a little girl who is walking with her father in the country. No neon signs, no automobile headlights or street lamps. Nothing marred the stillness of the crisp evening as she looked into the deep blue velvet sky studded with an array of diamond-like stars, which put the most dazzling Tiffany display to shame. She said, "Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what do you think the right side will be like?" Amen. Dottie Rambo said it best in a song years ago, "Teardrops will never stain the streets of that city. No wreaths of death on my mansion door. Abraham longed for that city, and we should too." And Abraham had very limited information. There's not a lot of information at all in the Old Covenant about the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, about heaven itself. Amen. But John saw the city and gave us a detailed word picture. In Revelation chapter 21, 12 through 14, John saw the heavenly city. And this is what he said about it. If you want to read it in Revelation, you can. But it said it had a great high wall with 12 gates, 3 gates on the east, north, and south, with 12 angels at the gates, with the 12 tribes of Israel's names inscribed on the gates, with 12 foundations, and with 12 apostles' names inscribed on the foundations. According to Revelation 21:15 through 17, the measurement of the city, the gates and the wall are listed. 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles tall. Praise God. Amen. The angel had a golden reed to measure them, and it was laid out like a cube, as the Bible said. The wall is 144 cubits, 216 feet, either high or thick. The construction of the city, the wall, its foundations, its gates, are listed in Revelation 21, 18 through 21. The wall was of jasper, the city of pure gold like clear glass. The 12 foundations of the wall were adorned with jasper, sapphire. It just lists all 12 of precious stones. Hallelujah. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Imagine with me today the colors with varying shades of green, red, blue, gold, and clear crystal. What a city that is awaiting us. The holy city, the heavenly New Jerusalem. By the way, friend, it's not going to remain in heaven. As you read further in the book of Revelation, John said, "I saw the holy city coming down out of heaven." There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, a new location for heaven right here upon the earth. Praise God. And we're going to live within the gates of that city forever and forever, age without end. Praise God. The saints of old were kept pure, filled with hope, because of their faith in the promise of eternal life and joy with God above. I want you to read this with me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. It said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Praise God. Amen. If we were in our church service right now, I would say to our congregation, and I'm going to say it to this radio congregation, it's time to put on your shouting shoes. This is something to shout about. Praise God. There's so much in this world to pout about. But when I read about what God has prepared for them that love Him, hallelujah, I want to put on my shouting shoes. Praise the Lord. I want to read this from the paraphrase. It said, every one of those people died, but they still had faith, even though they had not received what they had been promised. They were glad just to see these things from far away. And they agreed that they were only strangers and foreigners on this earth. When people talk this way, it's clear they are looking for a place to call their own. If they had been talking about the land where they had once lived, they could have gone back at any time, but they were looking forward to a better home in heaven. That's why God wasn't ashamed for them to call Him their God. He even built a city for them. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. There are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not true, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We who are true disciples of Jesus Christ, we should allow the vision seen by John to excite us and encourage us to remain faithful until we walk through those pearly gates. Hallelujah. Listen to these words in Revelation 22, 12 through 17. And behold, Jesus said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And let the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the river of life freely. Praise God. Praise God. You see, God would not close the book of Revelation. He would not close the Bible, the last book in the Bible, without one more invitation to come and be saved. Come and have your sins forgiven. Come and drink out of the river of life. Take it freely. God offers eternal life to everyone that receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. He promises us a heavenly, holy city where death cannot enter, where there will never be any heartache, heartbreak, where people never age, where death does not cancel relationships. I have a daughter that was born premature before I became a Christian, and she is with the Lord. She lived 4 days, beautiful little girl, and she's with the Lord. And I'm so looking forward to seeing my daughter. I have 2 sons alive here upon the earth, but I have a daughter in heaven. So I truly have 3 children because my daughter is alive and well today. And she's going to have the privilege, and I'm going to have the honor of allowing her to show me around a city that she's so familiar with. Praise God. I'm looking forward to meeting my loved ones. My mother is there. My dad is there. My grandparents are there. My uncles are there. My aunt is there. Praise God. Heaven is so full of all that the earth cannot sustain for you and sustain for me. And I'm so glad God has prepared a place like that for those that will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their personal Savior. This is exciting to me, especially as I age, as time goes on, as I approach 70 years of age. You know, the Bible said 70 is given to man. That's the median level. And it said that in the Scriptures, 2,000 years, over 2,000 years ago, 70 is given to man, and by reason of strength, 80. A score is 20, so 70 is the median, 80 by reason of strength. But friend of mine, I want you to know that all of us are aging. And as time goes on, all of us, if Jesus should tarry, We will pass through that corridor. But if you're a Christian, you don't have to fear when that day comes. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And to be present with the Lord in a place that He has prepared where we are going to live with Him forever. Praise God. Amen. Every one of us today should be living in the light of Christ coming. Let us live here with heaven in view. Let us travel light. This world is not our home. Indeed, we are only passing through. That's why the Bible said, I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Every passing day brings us closer to home. Let's stay on the King's highway, for it is indeed a highway to heaven. Whatever happened to heaven, it's still, amen, it is still, hallelujah, hovering somewhere up there, waiting for God to give the word, amen, to send His Son for His bride, and then the New Jerusalem is coming down, and we're going to live with Him, with our loved ones that have accepted Him forever and forever, age without end. I want to read verse 17 of this wonderful scripture in Revelation chapter 22. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. This is a message that the Holy Spirit is given the church to give to the world today. Come. God's invitation is out. God's the door to the ark is open. Amen. And the great, mighty gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news is that God wants you in that city. Even if you have committed so many sins, you think that you could never, ever, ever be worthy. Oh, friend, you are not worthy. I'm not worthy. No one of us that live in this fallen world are worthy except through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ qualifies us to live with Him in that holy place forever and forever. And the day that you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the blood is applied to our life. You see, Jesus at the cross supplied the blood. Everything that was necessary as He bled out and laid down His life for you and for me. He supplied everything that is necessary to secure that city as our eternal heavenly home and to secure us for that city. For after He shed His blood, He said we can be sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. That word sealed in the Greek means to brand, to mark as one's own. That's why the Bible said if we're looking for that city, God is not ashamed to be called our God. And He's not ashamed to call us His people. He speaks of us from the very moment we accept Christ as our Savior possessively. He says, you belong to Me now. You don't belong to Satan or sin or even self. You don't even belong to that world. You belong to Me. And from that point on, the Scriptures declare that our citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah! Our conversation is in heaven and not the earth anymore. And that's why we're encouraged by the Scriptures that if we've been risen with Christ, we've been born from above, born again, we are to look to heaven as our home already while living on the earth Praise God. And we need to live with that holy anticipation of Jesus coming. And we need to live with heaven in our view. Ah, friend of mine, in this day when we are caught up in the just the momentum of life, it seems like no one can stop and reflect and think like the little girl that looked up to the stars and began to think about heaven. How many times do we ever stop and look up? We're almost like we're earthbound. And I believe God wants us to begin to lose that earthbound attitude. We can't stay here anyway, no matter what kind of home you live in. You can't stay in it forever. You can't stay in your body forever. This body is aging. Everything of earth is temporal. And we should see ourselves as pilgrims just passing through. Praise God. Friend of mine, I don't know about you today, but I'm looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, where everything is eternal and nothing is temporal. The Apostle Paul talked to us about not looking at the things which are seen, the material, not looking at anything that you can see with the natural eye. While we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal, but we look to the things that are unseen, for they are eternal. I've never seen that city. It is unseen by my natural eye. John the Revelator saw it, and we just read quickly some things about it. But the important thing is not all the details of that holy city, but the fact that it exists and it is going to be our home forever. Abraham knew there's a city up there. Praise God. And I could live in the biggest and best city and the biggest and best house here upon the earth. But I know something about all those cities. I know that they're going to pass away. So I'm looking past those cities. And I'm looking to the eternal city which hath foundations. It's eternal because its builder and maker is eternal. It's God Himself. Praise God. So that's why before we close this book that details all these details about the holy city, the book of Revelation, before the book is closed, an invitation is given. And this should be the message of the church today. Who is the bride of Christ? The church of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is in the church to give us, amen, an unction for that message to go forth. And the Spirit and the bride have say in absolute tandem and union, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Living water doesn't just flow in that heavenly city from underneath God's throne. It flows by the Holy Spirit into the life of the person who receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I believe that mighty river is flowing today. Amen. I know it's flowing through me today. I feel that unction of the Holy Spirit. And I believe something else today, friend. I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart to come. Come to Jesus today. Come to know Him as your Lord and personal Savior. Repent of your sin. He will forgive you. He will pardon you. Christ supplied the blood at the cross so you could be saved. He has paid the price for your salvation today. And if you will receive Him as your Savior and repent of your sins, that blood will be applied to your life, and His righteousness will be put to your account. And you will be qualified immediately to live in that city forever and sing of His mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.